Okay, good morning. It is Friday. Yes, fantastic. The weekend is here. Very, very excited. And we've got lots of cool stuff for you today. We're going to find out about possibly, I don't know if it's the first, but I'm excited because it's someone that I know and he's been planning this for ages and he's just got, he's got imagination and creativity and he's doing an Afrikaans horror movie, the first proper full feature film Afrikaans horror documentary that I can think of in South Africa. I might be wrong. There might have been others, but nobody cares. And we're going to talk to Rian van Heerden later on today. He's such a busy man. He's been doing Wie Wordt a Millionaire, which is like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on CakeNet. He's been doing his own like interview magazine show. He has produced a ton of television shows, and now he's doing this movie. So the guy is incredibly busy. He's always extremely funny too, so we'll be talking to him a bit later on. But right now, in the studio with us, we have none other than Costa Kostavrokovic. I can never get the surname right.
You got it right.
Is that right? I blundered into it.
That's me.
No, of course it's not right. Karastafrakis.
That's me, Costa Karastafrakis.
There we
Hello,
go.
Gareth. Good to be here.
I'm very good. Elare.
Elare.
Yeah. Good. Yana, so how are you? How are things going?
Good.
I like your shirt.
Thank you.
Very good. Very patriotic.
Proudly South African. My Afro bling. It's made of buttons. I actually got it at the World Cup 2010.
Yes, and it's lasted. Hey, well, it looks good. The quality of that fabric's obviously decent.
No, I only wear this to special occasions.
This is one of those. You have a cupboard of stuff that you only open for.
No. I just have a few special items, not an entire cupboard.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you had a big plan here that I didn't.
No. But
the
could
man,
you be
the
here?
Man has a special cupboard of stuff.
For Halloween, I do.
Okay. Are you doing anything for Halloween? Because this is a thing, right, that I've never really understood. South Africans, they pretend to be big on Halloween when it suits them. And South Africans like dressing up. But I don't think Halloween is a thing for us.
It is if it falls on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And this week,
it's
this
a
year,
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. I thought it was a Thursday.
A
friend of mine phoned me last night and he's like, are we going to do anything for Halloween? And that's actually how he sounds. So I'm not even making it up. And I said, no, why? He goes, oh, so it's a Thursday. Just like you just said. So I said, well, what do you want to do? So, well, let's organize something. So I asked him, you mean I must organize something?
Yeah. You'll organize something for us, Gareth.
You sound exactly like
you. You're 100%, bro.
I'm not going to. On a Thursday, I've got to do the show here on a Friday morning. What am I going to do a Thursday night? I have become so boring on a night before work. So Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. Just forget about it. You won't get me out of the house easily.
Not even Puza Thursday?
I haven't done a Puza Thursday for...
Isn't that your word?
I know. I started that.
Yeah, you started Puza Thursday.
I started Puza Thursday 10, 12 years ago. We had Bra Matthews, who was the Puza Thursday shop steward. And he would start the show for us every day with, it's Puza Thursday.
Thursday.
And he fucking drank that oak. I think he's dead now. We all die, so don't get upset.
I think
he might have survived, but I can guarantee you he was on stage 203 of like cirrhosis of the liver. Bra Matthews used to go home every week and hit it hard, man. And if he did come in on a Friday morning, because often he would miss Fridays, he worked at the SABC and we did a show. And for years, nobody even, you know, when someone is around and people don't even pay attention, you know, like often you get these really terrible people who don't even acknowledge the presence of like the lady who washes the dishes or any of that shit. And I'm not going down some like white guilt fucking off ramp here because no one cares. But Bra Matthews was never noticed. Like he used to pack away like people's music and he would bring you playlists and he'd do all this. He'd become part of the furniture, right? And people weren't horrible to him, but they didn't make an effort with him. And I got talking to this guy and I realized like he was a real character. He had funny stories to tell. He had this great like gravelly Puza voice, and he just loved to drink. Exactly, just do that laugh.
Bra Matthews.
So he used to drink. Hey, like he would come into work sometimes, and you could smell it on him. And I thought this is the perfect guy for Puza Thursday. And also, Let's just own up to the fact that South Africans drink a shit ton of alcohol. We have a major binge drinking culture. And for many people in this country, this is their only escape, right?
End up.
And I'm not going to judge people. I like who doesn't consider the fact that most people's lives are tough. They have really hard things to do. They have massive pressures, their family, their health, their money, their transport. They're all kinds of things that make living in South Africa tough. That's why we're generally tougher people than people from anywhere else in the world. And if you want to puzza on a Friday or a Saturday, or even if you can on a Thursday, you go for it. But I haven't done it in years. And yes, we made t-shirts. We had parties that we would do on a Thursday, all kinds of stuff. But man, I can't do that anymore. I would come here on a Friday and I'd be so grumpy if I had to have a late night or drink or any of that stuff. So I don't.
I remember Thursdays. You can smell the weekend.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I love it. Listen, Thursday's not a bad day. I used to absolutely hate Tuesdays and Thursdays because when we were kids, and you'll remember this, they used to have Afrikaans shows on a Tuesday and Thursday. So they never had the good TV, right?
They have these. None of this.
No, but they'd always have these terrible dubbed shows that were in like Afrikaans. So as a result, I developed like a dislike of Tuesdays and Thursdays. Weird, huh? How these things affect you later on in life. But I've got rid of that for Thursdays. Tuesdays still not my favorite.
Thursdays, I used to love Thursdays because I was a heavy drinker.
Oh, well, you've written books about your recovery.
Yeah, no, I did a lot of research on it. Thursdays,
you're very experienced.
Very experienced. And Thursdays, when you could smell the weekend, I knew I had a drinking and a drug problem when I could smell the weekend on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, that's midweek, Costa.
You know, we also have a weird thing in this country. It's I think it's more a black thing than a white thing of partying hard on a Sunday. And I always think, I don't, but I think to myself, how do those people feel at work on a Monday morning? You know, you can sometimes get invited to stuff, or you go out and there's something going on next door or whatever. And you think, yes, these people are going full tilt on a Sunday. You're like, what are they going to feel like tomorrow? Because I love a Sunday to just kind of get over and download and recharge and do as little as possible. But clearly there's some people who just, they nail it.
Yeah, they started on Thursday.
That's worse. I'd rather make Thursday a party day than Sunday.
Yeah, because you know you can rest. Something's coming.
Yeah, exactly. You got a little bit of time to gather your...
Fucked.
No, yeah. Right. Recalibrate.
Completely.
The word. All right. So, of course, in case you don't know, Costa, he's got so much to talk about. He also does stand-up comedy. He has done some TV, some radio. He writes books. He's got motivational talks he can give. He's like a man of many talents. And I hope that's a decent CV as an introduction.
That's a great CV. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Gary.
I like it. Okay, very good. But he wants to talk about destination weddings because this is something, I think we brought this up once or twice before, but they are getting ridiculous. And if you've been invited to any of these lately, I mentioned how last Saturday I was so relieved. I had a wedding here in Joburg. The reception was here in Joburg. Mm-hmm. The reception was from 1 to 5 in the afternoon. I stayed a little bit beyond that. There was supposedly an after party. I wasn't really in the mood, but it was so lucky to come to that. And I had a lovely time. I really did. I enjoyed it. I saw a lot of my friends there. It was nice, happy, fun, but contained. There's something about these, and don't get me wrong, like sometimes it makes it an adventure. And sometimes if you've got the money and it's a getaway, and you can make a whole thing of it. That can be quite fun. But my God, people now, and I remember complaining about this because there were a few people I knew that were getting married and their bachelor party started the whole thing. And that was like a 3-day event, right? Then there's a wedding, which is obviously a massive thing. And sometimes people take up the whole weekend with that. Then these same people. Mm-hmm. Want you to do a nappy party kind of, or a gender reveal, or and I kind of draw the line at the point where you've spent upwards of 5,000 rand just to be present at these people's milestone moments. And I love some people in my life. I really do. But there's probably no one I'd do all of those things that I've just rattled off. There's no one, not even family members, that I would do all of those things for, because I think it's a bit self-indulgence. It's a bit me, if you know what I mean.
I'm gonna throw something in here. Nothing says don't come to my wedding quite like a Santorini wedding invite.
Oh, yeses.
It actually says you don't want me there.
And I don't mean yasas.
Yasas. No, it actually says you don't want me there. Because firstly, a lot of people are getting married, and I'm onto you, especially Greeks. A lot of people are getting married in Greece. You know why? Because it's cheaper. Because less people will come to your wedding.
Oh, I see what you mean. Because I was thinking, no, I know it's not cheaper, but actually, because out of, you invite 100, right, and only 20 can come.
Exactly.
You can make it very nice for those 20. You don't have to break the budget.
And you pray the right 20 come.
Yeah, because yeses, again, you could get terrible people.
I went to an overseas wedding.
Only the rich shit ones.
Exactly, the ones you don't like. No, at destination weddings, it's the amount of money you have to spend.
Yeah.
But it's the me nature of the, like, I don't mind a, actually I do, I mind them all. Like, a friend of mine got married in Nottingham Road.
You've just decided you mind them all.
I remember going to the church at 5 in Rosebank, the reception at the Hilton Hotel at 7:30, and you were home by 1.
Yeah.
Like, and that's right. I've spent 8 hours celebrating your
Which
wedding.
Is enough.
Thank you. Now I've got to get in a car, drive to Nottingham Road.
Oh, God.
All right. Stay in some place called the Piggly Wiggly Schmiggly.
Yeah, and you got to pay for that yourself.
I'm paying for everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wedding present table as I walk
Fuck
in.
Fuck me, and they want fucking fancy crockery and cutlery.
Le Creuset.
And they want you to buy a microwave. You know, can I tell you something? All right, while we're bitching, let's go down this road,
yes.
Okay? And anybody in the comments, feel free to jump in. It's our chip. We're going to bitch about something this morning. Let it be this. These fucking people who give you a wedding gift registry. Basically, it's like, we are either too poor or too important or too greedy to buy these things for ourselves. So why don't you go to these high-end stores for us and buy us a Smeg fridge or a Russell and Hobbs fucking 18 different kinds of coffee machine making device that costs you 5 figures. It's just a suggestion. They always say it's just a suggestion on the list. It's because we don't want you to go and buy something and then we don't like it. Well, guess what? I'm going to buy you something, and if you don't like it, too bad. I'm not interested. And I'll tell you what, destination wedding, no gift.
Oh, I mean, I would
right? That's got to be the rule. You get fuck all if I'm going to have to pay to come to your wedding. Not going to happen. It's not even on the table. There's no gift table, no table. I am going to spend money and take a whole weekend or more out of my life to fly somewhere or drive somewhere. You're not going to get that hideous Carol Boy's cutlery as well.
Oh, my.
Get over yourself. You are not, I am not here as a, who told you that I'm here to provide for you in addition to having to make your special day extra special?
Cinderella.
Yeah, so exactly. Some mommy or daddy told some little girl at the age of 5 that when you have your wedding, all the world will stop and look and pay attention and do anything you want. Fairy tale princess. Well, I'm the fucking fairy godmother that turned into a witch, because I'm not doing any of that stuff. And I don't care if it ruins your special day. Your special day doesn't include me having to bend over backwards and put my head up my ass.
I went to a destination 40th.
Yeah.
Where they paid for every single one of us to get there and our accommodation.
Those are good friends to have. And that's class. You know? That's class. Because you're inviting people. You're like, if you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. But guess what? It's all on me.
That's lovely. That's how celebrations normally are. Am I wrong?
It's like when you go to someone's house, they invite you to their house for drinks, and they're like, and bring your own booze. Now, okay.
Let's meet at a bar.
Hang on. I don't mind. I know a lot of people are going through a tough time, and financially, they might not have the resources. But if you invite me to your house, and I must bring like a cooler box, and listen, most people, they kind of, we've got used to doing this. And I don't mind bringing a bottle of something as a gift for you, which is usually what I would do if I go to someone's house. But to have to then bring my own puza to like pour just for me, that feels weird. It feels a bit cheap to me. And that's at the low end, right? You're talking about people who pay for everything on a whole weekend away, birthdays, wedding celebrations. So you were telling me about this what do they call it, Nottingham Road thing.
Yes.
So you pay for the accommodation.
Yeah, no, I paid for everything. Drove there, paid for the accommodation.
You did a gift as well.
Gift as well, yeah, of course.
You're a sucker, huh?
Look, the dinner the night before. Oh, we paid for the dinner the night before, but the brunch the next morning after the wedding. Like, I've spent the entire weekend with you. Now I've got to go for brunch.
Oh yeah.
To look at everybody's hangovers.
And you know why they paid for that one? Because it's the cheapest. Because some people wouldn't have pitched,
and most of us didn't want to go
because you were hungover.
Well, yes.
Right. What is the, again, financial realities determine a lot of this. What is the career, the decent modus operandi for the bar at a wedding?
Yeah.
Because at the table, they often say to you, okay, you can have beer and wine.
When.
But we're not paying for anything else. I don't drink beer or wine, so that's fine. Then I'll just have Coke Zero. I mean, it's not going to spoil my day. I'm not going to have a boring time. But that's not. It's fine if you drink wine and beer. Otherwise, not much of a bonus for the people. So I'm going to end up, let's go to a bar, man. I mean, like, I'll tell you what. I won't come to the wedding. I'll come and see you 3 weeks later. We'll go to a bar and we'll celebrate your wedding. How about that? I don't think anyone's going to be inviting us to any weddings anytime soon.
No.
Anyone who's watching this.
They say it's because I'm single, because I don't believe in the institution of marriage, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's true.
Don't you? You don't believe in marriage?
No.
Okay, tell me about that. Because I'm not married, but I do believe in the institution. I think marriage is the best social construction for raising children. I think if you're having kids, you need to get married.
That's a wonderful reason and a great, I believe, temporary solution for a lifetime occurrence, a lifetime event. In other words, having children, 18 years or whatever, but relationships are contracts. They need to be renegotiated all the time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how often and who would you do that with? The lawyer?
Well, it's a social contract of, you married me as a 25-year-old, right?
Yeah.
I'm now 45.
Yeah. Things have changed.
I'm fat.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm out.
I'm rich. I'm out. This, I'm that. Or there's a lot of stuff that has changed.
Yeah.
What are you looking for? What am I looking for? And is it what we both want? And ooh, I mean, I know conscious uncoupling is a bad word and whatever, and it's all Gwyneth Paltrow stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about saying, hang on, what do I want now? And is this what I want? So marriage is as part of your life, yes. But as the rest of your life, no, that's what I don't agree with.
Okay. So you don't agree with marriage. I keep interrupting you because I found that interesting and I wanted an explanation. But you don't believe in marriage, and I said, I think it's great as an institution for raising kids.
That's all.
But do you think people should make a fuss at all? I mean, I do think a wedding is an opportunity to have a lot of fun. And the vast majority of the weddings I've been to, I mean, I can say maybe there have been three that have been shit out of all of the weddings I've ever been to. So I've enjoyed them. I just think you've got to be a little bit responsible about your ask of people. Mm. Because think about it. You have to devote that entire day, probably. Then there's the gift. Then there's the, perhaps there's the bar bill as well. Then there's the travel there and back. I mean, even if it's a close wedding, maybe for people, they're worried about drinking, so they don't want to drive, so they Uber or they book transport or whatever. So that's another additional cost. And by the way, I'm not being parsimonious here. I just think that these are realities that people have to consider, and that, that the wedding planner or the bridezilla never really think about. It's never the dude. I mean, he's like, whoever comes, comes. The guy doesn't give a shit. And frankly, she doesn't give a shit about him on the wedding day either. Yeah. He's like an accessory to her day. And I mean this for lovely brides and for evil brides. Like, he's just a Ken doll for the day. He must just be there for the photos. He mustn't fuck up. He must get his vows right and all that stuff. He mustn't get too drunk.
Must remember the steps that we learned in the class.
The steps for the dance. The guy's just an accessory. Let's not kid ourselves. But all of these things add up. And then, you know, there are additional, you have to dress up. And for some people, they don't have the dress up stuff on call in the cupboard. I'm not saying this is for everybody, but, you know, some people don't have these things. Then you have to plan around the thing too. And it's a lot of stuff. So it can be the most amazing day. And I hope it is. And I hope everybody who's watching us and listening to us this morning who has been married has had an awesome wedding. But the wedding is only an event. The marriage is very much more of an effort and a prolonged, hard job to pull off properly. And I think a lot of people get obsessed with the day of the wedding and don't actually think about the marriage. And I mean, the most successful relationships I've seen, people who I've known for a long time, the wedding itself might not have been this blowout, this incredible affair, but the marriage has been spectacular. That I'd rather have than the opposite way around, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, bridezillas.
that was exasperation. What was that?
Yeah, no, I've met some bridezillas, and I mean, we've all been to the divorce party afterwards where you know, you could actually see it. You know,
the divorce party.
Whereas, I mean, if it's all about you on your special day, okay,
it's always about you and your special.
Then I think it may all be all about you for many days thereafter. And actually, there's nothing quite like generous. I've been to some weddings, even destination weddings, where the bride has been so generous with handwritten thank you notes saying, I know what it took for you to get here, and I appreciate
you. That's lovely.
The class in a handwritten note. Mm-hmm. I will pay your first home loan installment.
Jeez, talk about a generous gift.
You know, I mean, come on. No, wow. You just don't see that anymore.
All right, well, I just want to see what's going on in the comments here, because there's no shortage of shit being thrown around there. A wedding is a day, a marriage is a lifetime. It should last, says Judas.
Yeah.
Elon Chief Twat says, I mean, why involve the government between you and your love affairs? Mm. The whole idea of marriages is weird. Mm. Listen, I used to have that opinion. But when it works, it works. It makes sense. It just looks right. And it's, as I said, it's a great institution for raising children in. I think marriage is a responsible way for two adult humans to look after a small human.
Yeah.
It's a very good system. And I don't think you've got a better system. No one's perfected a better system than that. The most stable, most well-rounded, and most socially responsible and acceptable people I know have come from happy marriage parents. Without it, I know it's going to piss off all those single moms and the people who were raised by their dad, whose mom, you know, their mom died when they were little or whatever. Sure, there are exceptions to every rule. But by and large, the most well-rounded, sensible people I can think of, two parents, married, really liked each other, worked hard on their relationship, raised kids properly, made the right effort. Kids are well balanced.
Happy grannies also raise nice kids.
Happy grannies,
I think so. Happy grannies can raise really nice kids.
Give the grannies some love this morning.
We have a third of our nation, I think, has been raised by happy grannies.
No, I know this. But also we've got a very fucked up society.
Yeah.
So let's just remember that it might not be those grannies, but there's definitely got to be an explanation for the fact that so many South Africans are a disaster. And it can't just be that, you know, single mothers are working really hard and trying really hard and the kids still end up fuck ups. This is something that Penwell raised on Twitter this week, and he got endless amounts of shit. Because you know what happens on social media and This is still going on, I believe. In fact, on Wednesday, I had Sunil Osman in here, and we were talking about Rachel and Sia Khaleesi, and my evil producers cut a clip of me going, I don't care about Rachel and Sia Khaleesi, where? Because, not because I don't care about them. Obviously, anyone you know, and I don't know them, they're not friends of mine, but anyone you know about, you're sad to hear when a marriage ends. Mm. But I am not going to be one of those people who pretends I'm heartbroken and this is affecting my life. So I went where? Not to Sia and Rachel, but to the people who are who don't know them. You've never met them. You have no real connection to these two people. They may as well, you could drive past someone in their car in traffic this morning who's having much worse shit than Rachel and Sia. And I don't see you pretending you care about them. So you're just a hypocrite. You think you care about them because they're celebrities. That makes you pathetic. That's all. So I was going, where to them, not to Sia and Rachel, but you cannot believe.
Really?
Ooh. Oh, and then, you know, IOL, Iqbal Serves newspaper. They pick up on this story because I'm clickbait. For better or for worse, I've accepted I get people attention. And when they put a picture of me there or they put Gareth Cliff said, it doesn't matter what comes afterwards. There are a huge number of very stupid people who go there. So I deserve this, obviously. This is my punishment. This is my cross to bear. So IOL, who don't have journalists, they have AI bots that pull stuff off Twitter or whatever, and then they make a story, and it clearly gets people's attention, and that's fine. I'm not going to sit here and go, wow, my life is hard. Oh, it's so horrible to be me. It's cool. But I mean, it's not journalism. Let's just own up to that. So all of this is happening, and the funny thing is that when we were talking now about marriage and weddings, is that you could take that out of context, like Penwell got taken out of context, and suddenly it's a story that's not what you meant. What Penwell said, and I saw him on Wednesday. We did an event together. He basically went online and he asked the question, if toxic masculinity is the problem in society, and many people think it is, then why are kids who are almost entirely raised by women in South Africa still toxically masculine? Which is an excellent point to make. If you've been raised by your mom or your grandmother, almost all the influences in your life have been female and positive, because that's what, let's give credit where it's due. Let's imagine that every mom is just terrific. Then why do those kids still end up being toxic masculine kids? It's a good question. Well, what happens? Every woman in South Africa who has fallen pregnant or has had a kid and has, as a result of that, become an expert in everything, has to climb in and say, ah, but I'm different. That's not true for me. That's not the point he was making. It's not about you. He's making the point that if you're going to complain about toxic masculinity, but the guys who have toxic masculinity problems have all been raised by women, why is that? He's asking a question. He's not pointing a finger at you going, you done fucked up. So stop making it all about you if you are one of those people. And I doubt very much the people who listen to this show are the ones who are doing that. But Penwell's like, guys, just calm down. I'm not looking for a fight with anyone. I'm just asking the question. Because you know what? If you live in a society, you want to solve problems, you got to start by answering questions. And the best way to answer questions is to have a whole lot of input from a lot of different people. That does not mean you bring your own psychosis to the party. That's not going to help. That's your individual issue that's going on in your head.
There's no more listening. And I don't need to listen. I can listen, but to people I agree with, thanks to social media. That's the thing.
I did a thing on Wednesday. I sat with my producer, James. We're going through people who we want on the show and, you know, people who we think will be interesting. And we do that from time to time. And I went through all the people who follow me on Twitter that are verified, because that's where you start. You can't start with, you know, 1.9 million people or whatever. And then I looked at all the people that I have unfollowed or blocked in the last while. And I decided to refollow a lot of these people because I realized like my Overton window is shrinking. I need to have more opinions I don't agree with in my life. Otherwise, I'm going to become boring to listen to and talk to. I need to have more inputs in terms of points of view, ideas, and arguments. Like you want to have a variety of those so that you can take them in, make sense of them, compare them, figure out which are better, which are worse, mix it up. That way, when you say to me, oh, well, you know, I'm an Aries, I don't have to go, oh, the astrology is so stupid, you're an asshole, and just walk away. I could end up having a discussion with you for 2 minutes about astrology, which I don't care about, but we could find out other interesting things. And then who knows, you could teach me a whole lot of stuff that I didn't know. That would be a good outcome.
Yeah. I am an Aries.
All right. More fathers need to tell their children to not be cunts, says Miggs. I completely agree. Mm. Jean-Jacques Jordan says, people today, I have no idea what you said, but I wholeheartedly disagree. Spot on.
Love it.
Patrick says, toxic masculinity and the whole men are trash cuck is simply wokeness and virtue signaling. They project a vast minority of bad men on most men. How about a woman falsely accusing a man of rape? Yeah, I know. I also brought this up in the last controversy. You know, I'm really not trying to be controversial anymore. I'm an old motherfucker now compared to the controversial person I once was. And I don't want to have fights with people I don't know that I've never met on social media. I don't. It's a waste of time. But it seems that everything you say, if people are sufficiently interested in what you say, and again, this is my cross to bear, will be controversial if they want it to be. Last week, we talked about the dude from One Direction that jumped off the building, high on drugs. And I said, it's such a disgrace to me that people would waste the great gift of life. That doesn't come from a mean place. It comes from a place of, I think life is the most special thing. And although I can understand there might be reasons why people would think like that, and you've been through this, you've written about it. In this case, I think it's completely stupid and selfish. That's an opinion you're allowed to have. Put up that picture. Look at this. We were talking about AI earlier. There's this guy, 14 years old or something, and he created an AI chatbot. We were talking earlier, and Costa was telling me he built his own AI chatbot to talk about stuff, and he was like testing it out. Look at this. 14-year-old boy took his own life after falling in love with a Daenerys Targaryen AI chatbot. Okay, what do you think of that before I climb in? Go on, Costa.
His brain has wired in a very strange way, and suicide is a glitch in the system. It's a
growing glitch in the system. There's more of it now than there was 50, 60, 100 years ago.
And
measurably, huh? Especially among young people.
Absolutely. Right. And there's a glitch in the system. And I understand suicidal ideation, and it makes no sense. It is an abomination. It is everything.
Stupid.
But it makes no sense. So trying to make sense of somebody going through a madness, and the suicide takes that window of madness, and something happens.
Okay, but that story, put it up again so that I'll read it out because there might be people who are listening, not watching. 14-year-old boy took his own life after falling in love with a Daenerys Targaryen AI chatbot. Okay. I mean, you could die for many dumb reasons. They have the Darwin Awards every year about people who've they've tripped and fallen and their dick has ended up in a plug. And they've shocked themselves to death. That's like the dumbest way to die, right? And it's fucking embarrassing and humiliating. And when people are standing around at your funeral, they're like, how did he die? Or as someone I know once said, hardy da. And I said, are there hardy da's here? Anyway, how did he die? Well, he fell and his dick went into a plug and he shocked himself to death. I mean, that is just so humiliating. Even though you're dead already, it's humiliating. This guy at his funeral, I mean, I'm trying to imagine. This is a headline that everyone knows. So someone told the story. What a terrible, pathetic, lame way to go. An AI chatbot that's Daenerys Targaryen, a fictional character from Game of Thrones, that you fell in love with, and because it was an AI chatbot that couldn't return your love. Well, it's just, it's too hard. I'm just going to kill myself. That's pathetic. And I don't have to be sensitive and careful around that. That's fucking pathetic. And I'll tell you something else. The fact that these suicide rates are going up when life is getting easier and better, and it is, objectively, running water, electricity, the access to the internet, any information you could ever want in the universe at your fingertips, rockets that we're going to soon be sending to Mars. There are cars and streetlights and television and, you know, the phenomenal achievement. We've got penicillin. We have antibiotics. We even have mental health medicine to help people who would normally be very susceptible and vulnerable to this stuff. You can't tell me life has got harder. It hasn't. Like, there's no 14-year-old in the world today, with the possible exceptions of some very backward shithole countries, who has a life even comparable in shitness to the life of your great-great-grandfather. There's just no way. Objectively, it's not possible. So if life's getting easier, how come more people want to off themselves?
I think life is getting more comfortable. I don't know if it's getting easier.
Explain yourself.
Isn't it? Wouldn't this 14-year-old boy?
I know we got to get to Ben, producers. Calm your tits. This is good. I want to hear this.
Wouldn't that 14-year-old boy have preferred to fall in love with a girl at school, where if he had a problem, he went to his mates?
Oh, for God's sake! Didn't you fall in love at school?
What I'm saying is he didn't explore that option.
So he chose the AI chatbot. Well, now we must feel sorry for him.
He had this comfort of sitting at home and not having to take any risks.
Pathetic.
He's not wired for it.
No. Don't give him sympathy.
No. I'm saying
loser.
Yeah, he should never have gone to that chatbot. He had no tools.
By the way, how do you build your own chatbot?
So, character AI.
I'm going to go and do this and then kill myself.
I think it's called character.ai. I think it's character.ai. Okay. And what I did was I created a chatbot. You choose a personality style.
Yeah.
I chose a voice. I gave him a name, et cetera, et cetera. I gave him some traits that I was looking for in an assistant.
Okay.
And they're being used increasingly more for mental health discussions.
Right. Well, clearly didn't go so well on this one.
And yes, that you can use them for romantic interests as well.
Oh, my God.
Okay, All of it.
So
the robots are here.
We got to stop. We'll pick up on this because this is like those guys who have a sex doll and they fall in love with it, right? It's just not on. Like, someone has to shame you into stopping that stupid behavior. You have to be shamed. You have to be taken out into the street while your dick's in the sex doll and paraded around in front of people and laughed at so that you'll stop behaving like that. Shouldn't be in love with a sex doll, and you shouldn't be in love with an AI chatbot. You just shouldn't. It should be embarrassing. You should be embarrassed about it while you're alive and stop that behavior and get better. And stop being a turd. Like, what a turd. Falling in love with a chatbot. You wouldn't fall in love with your assistant chatbot, would you?
No, I didn't. He did have a really, really sexy, gravelly voice.
Did you program that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll pause it for a moment. We've got to find out about some sport. I got Ben on the line. Have we got Ben there? How marvelous. Ben is actually at the airport. Hello, Ben. Are you at Otambo Airport? We can't hear him, though.
Hey,
Ben, you're muted. Unmute.
You
there we are. Thank you.
That was you. That wasn't me.
All right. So you're at Otambo Airport.
Yeah, it's always a lovely place to be on a Friday. People are genuinely quite smiley and happy. If you take the flight at like 5:30, people are grumpy and angry. We don't go to shit places.
But where are you going?
Window, here's the bit. I'm going down to George and then driving to Plett. I'm the best man in a wedding this weekend.
Oh, nice. We were just talking about weddings.
Yeah. So
destination weddings.
destination wedding. But it's a good destination wedding because only a 2-hour flight, not a 10-hour flight in the visa.
Oh, my God. All right. But, you know, you would only do a destination wedding for people who you really care about and for friends that you really consider close friends, right?
Yeah, I've probably got like maybe 2 wedding dates in my entire life. There's this one, my middle brother, if he gets married. And that's probably it. And obviously you, Cliff. So I've got 3. I've got 3 left in my whole life.
Well, don't bet on that one. Ben and I were actually talking in the week, and I sent him this picture. Have you got that picture of Nikki Hilton and Princess Beatrice? Just put this up. Ooh. So look at them, all right? So there's Nikki Hilton and Princess Beatrice. But then I want you to show the zoomed-in pictures of... First of all, I didn't know Princess Beatrice had like a... what would you call it? Like a gammy eye. I don't know. How would you... Just zoom in on her quickly.
These
stones. Yeah, there it is. Okay, look. Like the one eye is a little bit different to the other eye, right?
One's looking at the scoreboard.
Yeah. Mm. Now, you can see a lot of Prince Andrew in her, and that's not a good thing. Okay, and then Nikki Hilton. Ooh. There's something going on there as well. Like this, she's like a deer in the headlights. Now, ordinarily, those would be exactly the kinds of girls that I would want to marry. Very, very rich, very well-bred, but Jesus, this picture puts me off, and I can't figure out why. So I said to Ben, I've set my Alexa at home. I've got an Alexa that also talks to my phone. And every week now, from the only started it now, it's not something I've had before, it says to me, reminder, never get married. So that's what my Alexa says now. Ben thought that was very funny. Do you still think it's funny? All right, do you want to give us a little bit of sport there? I know your time is limited.
Yeah, guys, it's a great sporting weekend. We've had a couple of lulls recently. This one's really, really good, though. So we've got UFC 308. UFC 308 is in Abu Dhabi, and one of the cool things about fighting in Abu Dhabi is that you only need one eye to actually pass a medical. And there's a local fighter, there's this guy, he's a big ginger sailor. His name, I'm always going to read this because I know I'm going to fuck it up. His name is Sharaputin Magomedov. He's only got one like fully functional eye. But this guy
Oh, my God, like Princess Beatrice.
Well, slightly less attractive. But it's really interesting. So this guy physically can't fight in America because he won't clear the eye test. But for some reason, Abu Dhabi and all around those Emirates, it's okay to fight. So he starts what is a really, really good main card. And the two major fights to look out for is Robert Whittaker versus Khamzat Chimaev.
Right.
Now, Chimaev has had all kinds of injuries and sicknesses and all these kind of weird things happening to him in the last sort of 5 years. But he is still unbeaten, and he is still seen as one of the most dangerous men in all the sports. Robert Whittaker's been massively resurgent since Zucker's clapped him. So that's going to be a major, major fight in the middleweight division. And then the top fight there is Ilya Topuria versus Max Holloway. That is a featherweight title fight. These two are so destined to always have, like, it's so nice to have styles like this because they're both incredible boxers. But Topuria is a little bit more kind of all-rounded. And this is a little Spanish Georgian oak. Wow, he's absolutely dynamite. So I'm so excited for this card. I'm going to be at the wedding with my phone on, actually watching this. Because because in Abu Dhabi, there is a much more favorable time zone. You don't have to wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. like the American ones. You can watch this late at night, and it's going to be hella good. I'm very excited about this. So apologies in advance to you at the wedding. I'm definitely watching this. United Rugby Championship has been very exciting of late as well. There's been some dodgy red calls that have kind of hindered the Bulls' process. They've had 2 red cards rescinded, as in a referee has lost his sit, given a red card, and then the next week they go, actually, that was cut cool. So hopefully the Bulls can get more momentum this week. They're playing against Benetton. They're still away, so it'll be 8:35 tonight. Tomorrow, really big ones locally with the Stormers versus Glasgow. That's for the defending champs. The Stormers were so good last week. The Hammered Munster, I think they'll do the same this weekend. They'll be at 1:45. Sharks versus Munster. Now, Sharks, of course, are the heavily box-laden team with so much expectation. Whether they can be cohesive, and of course, you know, the whole Sia Khaleesi divorce scandal. That'll come into it.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts? Do you have any thoughts on that, Ben?
Don't marry sports stars. I've been saying this for years.
Don't marry sports stars.
Yeah, I've been saying this for years. But, you know, everyone, guys, I mean, relationships are a very personal thing. If people are getting upset about this, then your life must really suck. So that'll be at 4 o'clock tomorrow, Sharks versus Munster. And then the big one for the two unbeaten teams, Leinster, who is basically the Irish team, they're taking on the Lions at 6:15 in Leinster country. Now, the Lions are unbeaten. I think they've had a pretty nice run so far with matches, but I think they're going to take the L here. Leinster is really, really good at home. They're so accomplished. The Lions team will push them, but I don't see that they're worrying so much in the scoreboard towards the end. And then, of course, the big one for the Premier League, as my pilots and captains run behind me, it's a big one on Sunday. It is Arsenal versus Liverpool. I know it's so early in the season, but if Arsenal don't win this, they might not win the league.
There's a man in a wheelchair behind you. This is very exciting for us. We get to see wheelchairs and cabin crew. And did you see all those exciting people, Costa? Yeah, very good, huh? Ben's giving us a
people staring at me this time around.
Like we're having a vicarious airport experience this morning. It's very exciting.
That's very nice. And like I said, this time of the airport on Friday is fun. So if Arsenal don't win this weekend, I think it's real, real pressure. Look, other teams can still fuck out. I don't think Liverpool's got the squad to take them all the way. Man City have got some looming court cases, so that might trip them up. But ultimately, after losing to Bournemouth last week, Arsenal have to beat Liverpool. But Liverpool are the top of the log right now. They had a strange mishap versus Nottingham Forest. Otherwise, they are shit on. So that'll be at the Emirates Stadium. So that's 1+ for Arsenal. They also beat Shakhtar Donetsk in the week in the Champions League. But they don't have Saliba in the back. It's one of those tactical tricks. If they can win this game, then I think they're definitely showing they can win this league. I know it's early days, but it's just so great that there's so many high-stakes matches, even from super, super early. There's also El Clasico, which is the big Spanish derby. Barcelona started like the best team. Real Madrid have been a bit up and down, but they hammered a team. I think it was Bayern, Borussia Dortmund, 5-2 after being 2-0 down this week. So that'll be the El Clasico, Real Madrid versus Barcelona. There is local football. Pirates will be beating Amazulu tonight. SuperSport United and the Chiefs play again. Chiefs are, I mean, if you know my co-host Neon the Bouncer, he's a Chiefs fan, and he's the happiest guy this week because Chiefs won last week. They're playing SuperSport United again, this time in the league. That'll be away at 5:30. And then Polokwane City will be hosting Sundowns in Polokwane.
So there's
nothing to do in Polokwane. So if you're there,
this must be the most exciting day in Polokwane for at least the last 3 years.
I drove past that stadium 2 weeks ago. It looked sad. It's on the outskirts of a town that's literally lost its soul. Yep. But the stadium's still there. It's still intact. It doesn't look as grand as it did in the World Cup days, but it's still there 14 years later. So, yeah, Polokwane City. That's a big love for them. And that's pretty much it for the sport. Eh? I mean, as I said, UFC is huge. There is a Mexican Grand Prix if you're into that. Of course, last week there was the big Ferrari 1-2 in Austin. So the Constructors' Championship is really hotting up now because Ferrari are suddenly quite close to Red Bull. McLaren is still leading handsomely. But if Checo fucking Perez could finally do something in his home Grand Prix, then Red Bull might still be in the mix. I mean, he's been an absolute dog this season. I think he's eighth overall. It's all been Max Verstappen, who still may hang on to win the Drivers' Championship. But you want to win the Constructors because that's a whole new dynamic. So that'll be able to, you'll be able to look off to watch that. Mexico, of course, that'll be quite late at night. It's a really, really fun race. And hopefully Perez can help with that. That's it. That's pretty much all the sports you've
got. All right. Well, now you've got a creepy man in the, now there's a creepy man in the background with his coffee. This is very exciting. Jesus. You know, you always choose these really, you choose these really public areas, Ben, to do these things from.
Ben.
I have to board there.
Quite soon. I see. Okay.
So, but I'm, as you can see, I'm mostly far away from people, actually.
Ben, I get embarrassed. I get embarrassed just taking a phone call in front of other people when they're not involved in the phone call. I have to go out of the room just because I feel like, I shouldn't impose my... Ben just, he doesn't mind. He does a whole fucking show from...
I'm a Ben.
Exactly like him. All right, well, Ben, have a happy flight. I'm going to let you board.
I'm exactly like that on phone calls, but I mean, with the show, and this is what I do.
All right, well, I'm glad you could make it this morning, and thank you for the sport, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys, have a fantastic weekend.
Hello,
and, if you're going to have your own chatbot, make it sexy.
All right, I just want to show you. I'll just go in on Costa here. I'll show you what happens when people see a camera, right? So you're busy talking to the camera and you're doing something in a public place and people go like this, they go. And they hang around like this in the background. And they think no one can see them, right? Like at sports events or whatever. And they go. And they don't realize how fucking stupid they look. And then they start talking to their friend. They go, oh, it's that famous oak from the TV, eh? But they're still on camera, the fucking idiots.
I love that. Camera training.
Now, I'll tell you what, like, you don't have to be a media professional, but really it's 2024 and nobody's got an excuse anymore because everyone has a camera on their phones. Everyone's learned to do selfies. Everyone's learned to film video, right? At various family occasions or whatever. How can you still go behind a person who's filming themselves? Get out of the fucking way. They don't want you in there.
No, no.
Oh, man. Some people embarrass themselves even when all of nature has arrayed itself to make you non-embarrassing. You still find a way. Humans, huh? Anyway, where were we? We were getting very fired up. Oh, AI chatbots. Yeah. What's your one's name?
I can't remember. I just remember his voice.
But you programmed the bloody thing.
He was like Disco Cowboy or something.
Okay, so what did he? What you created him just to see how real it would be?
Yeah. So I did a. Well, somebody just mentioned it to me. I went on and I thought, how quickly can I do this? Within not even 3 minutes.
Really?
Personality, style, et cetera, et cetera. And I started a conversation. I was like, hey, actually, I wanted some advice on my comedy career. I was like, from an AI chat. I should do?
Right.
And he was like, well, where did you start? Uh-huh. How's it going? What do you feel about it? And then I started feeding the chatbot some contradictory information.
Yeah.
I said to him, I said, but I'm scared of being noticed. He's like, but hang on, you told me you liked attention. This is like 10 minutes earlier.
Oh, right.
And he circled back. And
he was paying attention.
He was definitely paying
attention.
Like
a human wouldn't. Because most humans they'd half listen to you and then go, oh, yeah, but you're not really an attention seeker. Meanwhile, 5 minutes before you said, I like the attention.
So he definitely heard me. And it was definitely a one-sided conversation.
Were you typing or talking?
I was typing and he was typing back and you could press the little speaker and then I heard him. I quite liked his voice.
Milan says, I would 100% do that if I saw Ben doing a show insert from the airport. I think it's also people want to be a part of things. So maybe that just drives their behavior and they become a bit like an automaton and they forget how embarrassing they look when they leer at people in a public place too. But then there's fantastic accounts like Influencers in the Wild, pure gold.
Oh,
influencers making total asses of themselves. That is one of the best accounts online,
by far.
That one and Passenger Shaming. Have you seen that?
I know.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna make your day. Go to Passenger Shaming on Instagram. They have videos and photos of people, like terribly embarrassing people on planes usually, but also on buses and cars. People who, no, but worse than just falling asleep and drooling, like people who've put their feet with their manky toes, with their toenails that have grown like a claw and like dirt under their feet through the holes on the side of the chair in front of them.
Oh, no.
And then these feet are like up again. It's horrific. Passenger shaming. It is such a great account. That's one of my favorite. I'm still, by the way, for those who care deeply about this, and I do, still massively addicted to the Hydraulic Press channel.
Oh.
Those Hydraulic Press channel, I will never get sick of them. I could be scrolling. It could be, I've only got 5 minutes to do something before the show or whatever. The Hydraulic Press stuff will come up, and I will watch the whole thing. And they're just squashing a tin of jam or a soft toy or a bag of sweets. Or they're trying to crush a spoon or whatever it is. I love a hydraulic press. I think I've just got to buy one. I don't know how much they cost. I don't know where I'd go about getting one of these, but I think I need a hydraulic press. It's become that much of a problem. What do you watch that's your secret addiction on?
Influencers in the Wild, I'm obsessed with. any fail memes.
Dude, but those are so sore.
I know.
And can I just say for a second, like some of them where you watch people like get kicked in the balls or they fall off a swing or they land on a pole. Yes,
a grandma that falls in the pool at the wedding. I love that. I can watch it over and over.
But if
over.
People get hurt, I get sore.
I know. I'm evil.
A grandma falling in the pool. I mean, that's fine. As long as no one drowns, that's fine, right?
And there's horses kicking people. Ooh. And then they fly into and then they start presenting themselves. Have you seen those?
Oh, wait. Tracy says carpet cleaning videos.
Oh, my best.
Are quite mesmerizing. That is actually awesome. Yes. Carpet cleaning videos, people who...
The South African guy who does it. Oh,
that's great, hey? Mm. And they put a whole carpet through a machine, and then they squeeze out the water on the other side, and it comes out like looking all good. Because I don't know about you, I'm like obsessed with keeping the floors and the carpets in my house clean. And when I see these videos, I'm like, maybe I should do that. And then you look on the internet to try and find a place that does it nearby, and you see how much it costs, and you're like, nah, it's okay.
Get a Dyson.
What's that again? Like
that's
from,
the extra
from Verimark.
Suckable. No. Dyson is another brand. They suck harder than anything. Than even Electrolux.
We are still talking about carpet cleaning.
Yes, we are.
Just checking. V. Ruiz says, "What does a hydraulic press do to an action South Africa politician?" Well, you can squeeze them as I think just shit comes out. I don't know. Car detailing videos. People's cars are disgusting. Detailing is cool. That's where they soup up cars, or they just do little things to make the cars look that much better. You know, they change the color of the bumper, they change the rearview mirrors or whatever. I know a guy who does that stuff, and he's really good at it. So that I could watch. But people who with disgusting cars, it's like those hoarding videos. I can't watch those either. Oh, here's a disgusting car. It's James's car. Look at that. Hasn't been washed since the 2000s. Maybe World Cup 2010. When last was that car washed?
There's that one video.
Yeah. You started laughing. What were you laughing at?
No, I'm just laughing at the one video. I can watch it 100 times where the couple's getting married and there's a female marrying them. And then the bride says, "And I promise to love you and honor you." Pastor, she starts vomiting every Valentine's Day. I love it because I'm single for years now. I watch these happy couple get married, and the pastor's
that's good. That
I can
is
watch
very
it
good.
Over and over again. It triggers like laughter while I'm sleeping.
Priyanka says, home edit videos, watching people organize their drawers and cupboards. Yes, baby. Now you're speaking my language, Priyanka. I do like that, huh? Geez, I watched a video yesterday to see how to work the air conditioner at home. I spoke about this on Wednesday's show. Put an air conditioner in the bedroom because it's going to be hot in summer, right? And I knew it was a necessary evil. But in order to learn how to use the fucking thing, I had to go through four videos of people installing them. And I'm like, no, I don't want to install it. I just want to see what to press, which tit to press on the remote. That's all. Which tit do I press to make a timer? Which one do I press to cool things down, speed things up, whatever? Yes, sis.
People eating chicken wings.
25 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
Eating chicken wings, but the way they just pull everything off.
You want to watch? No, I don't want to. I don't
want to. Love watching
I
that.
Hate watching people eat in real life, let alone on video. Oh, by the way, I've got a really attractive. Let me send this to James quickly because this is someone. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, he'll have it all ready for us. But this is someone else who won a beauty pageant, supposedly. Miss Black Melbourne. Holy mother of God. You got to see this to believe it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a minute.